Welcome to Your Encore, a Legacy Leader podcast series. Legacy Leaders is an encore program of the Cleveland Leadership Center. Your Encore will consist of legacy leaders sharing their life story to inspire or encourage you to a second or third act. Our guest for today's episode of Your Encore is Christy Horner, founder and executive director for Courage to Caregivers. Christy strongly believes that you need to take care of yourself first in order to be more effective in just about every role you play in life. Whether it's spouse, partner, parent, child, friend, neighbor, colleague, or caregiver, you have to create your own self-care plan to prevent burnout. Welcome, Christy Horner.
So good morning, Claudia. Thank you so much to you and the Cleveland Leadership Center for having me on your podcast this week. Super close to the Cleveland Leadership Center in every way, and think about my relationship back to Accelerate as really my first foray to the programs that you all have done and where I pitched Courage to Caregivers back in 2018 or 2019 as an idea as we were just getting started. And so it's really exciting to be back and talking to you about preventing burnout, which I think we see in every facet of our lives, and then how the difference between kind of what you might think of self-care as and real self-care and what I've come to understand self-care as. So just thrilled to be on the podcast with you today. So I'm just wondering, if you're listening, are you caring for anyone else right now? And that could be you're caring for an aging parent or a child or an emerging young adult, or maybe both. See, your sandwich or panini, like I like to say, like me. Or maybe you're supporting a grandchild or a friend, neighbor, or even a colleague. Then you're a caregiver. And I'm a caregiver too. And I used to think of myself as just a sister. And I'm using fake air quotes right now because you can't see me. Just a mom or just a daughter. Because that's just, I was doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing. Out of responsibility, it was what I was called to do. And that got a little complicated for me. My brother with anxiety, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, as well as suicidal ideation, needed some mental and emotional support. And then after an accident, my son was left with a traumatic brain injury, needed all kinds of support. And as my parents have aged, they've needed a lot of support that actually has exceeded my capacity to give. And so those scenarios of caring became way more than just a sister, just a mom, or just a daughter. That's when I morphed into being a caregiver. And I had to take a really good hard look at my identity and including that as part of my identity. And you've likely known about the flight attendant's message to put on your own oxygen mask before helping those around you. But did you know that you actually only have 18 seconds of useful consciousness to get that oxygen mask on before you pass out? And then if you were to pass out, what good would you be to those around you? And so here at Courage to Caregivers, we believe that self-care is actually like that oxygen mask for the caregiver. I can guarantee you when I'm sitting on that plane and hear that message, and it's been a lot less since the pandemic, I'll be honest, that sitting next to my husband, he's the first person to unbuckle his seatbelt and go help everybody in that entire plane. Because he thinks that he can do that, help everyone, and then sit down and put on his own oxygen mask. But I know that I can't do that, that I have to put on that oxygen mask, because that is what's going to allow me to help more people. String goes pretty far. I'm going to be able to help people in the few rows on either side of me. But if I pass out, I'll be able to help no one. And when I started Courage to Caregivers in 2017, I thought it was because caregivers actually needed more self-care, more time with their oxygen mask. That it was just simply about, well, if you just take better care of yourself, which is what I thought I needed at that time, then I could do a better job. But over time, I realized I wasn't alone in that fact that I had lost sight of me and who I was and who I had wanted to be and become. And I had lost myself in my caring. As I met more caregivers, it validated and normalized that feeling, and I realized I wasn't alone. So much of myself had gone into this identity as caregiver, but I had lost Christy. I had lost who she was and what was important. And so self-care, yes, is important, but returning to who you are at that very core, that is ultimately where we support caregivers to being. The stress of caring has been found to take 10 years off of a caregiver's life. I'll let that sit for a second. 10 years. Dr. Elisa Epple did the research out in California, and she has a great book, The Stress Prescription, that goes along with that research. But the good news is that it doesn't have to take 10 years off of your life. At Courage to Caregivers, we work to empower caregivers to better cope and manage the stress of caring. Now, it's taken me 5 or 6 years to see that and understand that, because in the beginning, if you remember, I thought it was just all about self-care. Just take better care of yourself, Christy. Don't neglect your health and well-being. You'll be able to do a better job. But what I wasn't looking at was this stress of caregiving. And I literally thought that I could help other caregivers reduce their stress, that I could suddenly magically, with the 53 million unpaid family caregivers that there are in the US alone, that I could suddenly reduce their stress. But that would require me to be in their homes and help drive their people to appointments and clean out their refrigerator or their pantry, or, you know, walk their dogs or make healthy meals. But I can't be in all those places. So what becomes sustainable now is for us to meet caregivers where they are and empower them to better cope and manage that stress of caring. That is what becomes sustainable. I can't be in your home, but I can help you to better cope and manage the stress. And so we do see Courage to Caregivers as being in the caregiver burnout prevention business. While we do start with self-care, because it's got to start somewhere, we do know that when you take better care of yourself, holistically, like in every single way, emotional, mental, physical, social, financial health, then you're going to take better care of those you love or anyone you're caring for. So we have seen caregivers get stronger and healthier. And then as a result, families become healthier and stronger. And ultimately, that ripple effect is this beautiful bigger picture, which is entire communities get stronger and healthier. And these opposite polar directions between selflessness and self-care. And this paradox, this unfair paradox, leads to the belief that self-care is selfish. And so self-care has really gotten a bad rap culturally and in the, you know, out there that, you know, oh, you're just taking care of your own needs before anyone else, then you're being selfish. But we don't believe that, because we really believe that if you don't take care of yourself, it's that cliche, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. If you don't take care of yourself, there's nothing left to give. There's just nothing left to give. One of my favorite reads of 2023 is this great book called Real Self-Care by Dr. Pooja Lakshmin. And she reminds us that self-care isn't a noun. It's a verb. And she defines real self-care as this ongoing internal process that guides us towards profound emotional wellness and actually reimagines how we interact with others. It requires self-knowledge, self-compassion, and ultimately the willingness to make some really difficult decisions. So what does real self-care, you know, what makes it real? It's about doing what matters most to you. And we always suggest starting with identifying your core values. And Brené Brown has an excellent values exercise on her website if you're looking for one. So what's most important to you? Start there. And then look at, how are you spending your time? Do they align? Do they match? Are you doing things that bring meaning and purpose to your lives? Are you getting closer to your most authentic self? It's that, you know, what do I want to do when I grow up? And even those of us in our encore, those of us in our legacy years, we're still trying to figure that out in some cases. So start there. It's also about creating sustainable practices of self-care, healthy boundaries. What's your capacity to give? Learning to say no, which is really, really hard no matter what season of life you're in. And then don't let guilt stand in your way. So don't let someone guilt you, because guilt is your own emotion. So do what's most important to you. I'm sorry, that doesn't align with my core values. Make it your best yes. And then think about self-compassion. What would you say to a dear friend? How do you talk to a dear friend? Talk to yourself in that same way. What do you need? What do you want? Do those things align? So remembering that real self-care is not something to do, it's a way to be. It's about doing less and being more. And I just want to close by saying that Katie Reed has this great quote: self-care is giving the world the best of you instead of what's left of you. So as you care for others, and I know you're caring for so many others, don't forget to take care of you too, because that's where it starts. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Christy, thank you. You know, as I was reading and looking over your website, I noticed there, and if you could just tell us a little bit about, you had on there the Caregivers Courage Toolkit. Mm-hmm. Tell me how a person can go about what should be in a toolkit, or how do I get my toolkit as a caregiver?
Yeah. So, and that's a great question, because, you know, courage, there's a reason courage is in our name. It takes a lot of courage to care for others. And courage is that, you know, giving you that in your most authentic self, in your most vulnerable self, giving you that power back to take on and do these hard things of caring, like boundaries and letting go and acceptance. So in that toolkit are all of our favorite tools. We do a workshop around that. We do a workshop around self-care planning too. But, you know, in my courage toolkit, I have things like the self-compassion, like positive self-talk, like finding optimism, realistic optimism in the moments of deep darkness, finding that one light that's going to pull me through. It's about looking at what brings you joy. It's about leveraging your strengths, because coming at it from a strengths-based lens is going to be really important. It's about understanding what causes you stress, those stressors. Because a lot of times we'll hear each other say, I'm so stressed out. Well, which is true, but what is causing you that stress? What are the stressors igniting that? Because when we can notice and identify our stressors, we can better manage and cope them. We can do some pre-coping often, but we can also better manage and cope those, so we aren't stressed out. That's how we're going to prevent burnout. It's about setting micro goals, because that ultimately is what pushes us forward, gives us that hope-centered mindset about the future. And we make those SMART goals, but we do start small, because we realize in the pandemic, we made everything small because everything felt hard. We also use this mantra, if you will, of the 7 C's that's based on the 3 C's of addiction recovery, which are essential to kind of dealing with stress, coping, and giving us courage. But it's this reminder that I didn't cause it. I can't cure it. I can't control it. And I can't change it. Yeah. And yet I can have courage, compassion, and I can cope. It's that reminder that you can get through this next hard thing, right, and survive another day.
Fantastic. And you know, one thing that comes to my mind after going through the process is what happens after your role of caregiver is over? Mm. How do you go about
getting your life back mm-hmm. without feeling as though there's something missing mm-hmm. or that you were able to do everything that you could do and say, now my life begins anew. Mm-hmm. How do you get to that point? What happens after the caregiver?
And that is such a great question, because we do support a lot of caregivers through that season of their caring. And we see that their identity has been so enmeshed with their caregiver identity that they have lost themselves. And so it really starts with, how do we find ourselves again? How do we find ourselves again? And so we don't feel like everything is lost when that relationship of caring ends. And I was just speaking with a caregiver this morning, a client, and she's supporting an aging parent through a difficult life's season. And as she starts to get herself back and find herself again, I said, use every little moment that you're helping your mom to start fleshing out. What are you really good at? What do you love doing? What do you not love doing? And so as we start, it's that pre-coping, right? It's that I see this coming. My caregiving won't last forever. In most cases, in some cases it may. But in most cases, that caring relationship might end. So using that last little window to say, ooh, I have loved this, and it has informed my journey so much that I could help another caregiver. I could pay it forward. We have a peer support program where we are recruiting peers all the time to help pay it forward and help another caregiver out. Use your pain to help inform their journey and their story. Or find something that you've learned from this and you've got as a new strength, and then leverage that strength to do something to reinvent yourself in this season of life. Who do you want to become, and figure that out?
Thank you so much. And then my last question for you, Christy, is if someone would like to work with you, mm-hmm. work with Courage Caregivers, how can they be in touch, and how can they begin to work with you?
Thank you so much for offering that. So we are always looking for committee members, and we have 5 different committees that work very hard to achieve our mission and strategic vision. And that is the Community Outreach Committee, the Development Committee, the Strategic Planning Committee, the Program Committee, a finance committee, and those committees keep us going. Committee members is where we get our future board members and are always, replenishing them. We also have peer support volunteers, like I said, who from their own lived experience, we have an internal training that we do to help launch them to be matched with another caregiver based on relationship of care and care recipients diagnosis, if you will. So we would match another daughter with another daughter, or another mother with another mother, or another sibling with a sibling. And you get continued supervision and support through helping another peer. And those peer relationships are so valuable. We also have certified family peer supporters who we would help you get trained and certified through the state of Ohio. And I myself and 2 other colleagues have done that program. And it's a fabulous way to essentially help and scale that certified family peer support, where you'd be working with an entire family. And so that is how you could help us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Fantastic. Thank you again for joining us on Legacy Leaders, your encore, how to avoid burnout. We all go through that caregiver phase, I believe, whether it be as a grandparent providing care for our grandchildren, for our own children, or even also for our spouse or for our parents.
Thank you for listening. We hope you are inspired or motivated to continue to your encore.